Unfortunately, as before, Father Tim isn't available this evening. Some of you might know that he's assumed the responsibility for Pickering. However, as before, I would invite members present just to consider why we're here and who we serve in the Rydell community. Thank you. May I welcome fellow members, ladies and gentlemen, to this meeting of the Council. In particular, I'm very pleased to welcome Stacey Billett, our new Chief Executive, to her first Council meeting. Could you please ensure that any mobile phones or any other devices that might make a noise are switched off or switched to silent? And do all councillors have a copy of the agenda papers? I will now outline the emergency evacuation procedures. Should we have them, there are no practices or drills planned. Those at the back of the room, please leave by the back. Anybody nearer this exit can move here. There are, ladies and gentlemen, lavatories through in the entrance, and water is available for those that require it. Item two, any apologies for absence?
Apologies for absence have been received from Councillor Burr.
Thank you. I think it's as well just at this stage for members of the public to inform them that agenda item 10 I will bring forward in the meeting to happen after item 7, which are the announcements. In the meantime, agenda item 3, public question time. We have one question from Mr. Simon Thackeray. Mr. Thackeray.
Testing. Can you hear me all right, Chairman?
I can hear you fine.
Good. Unfortunately, I've had to borrow my next-door neighbour's glasses here because I've left mine in the car. So, I'll get the right page, I hope. Yeah, that's it. Okay, thank you. Right. All being well, members have received a copy of my question. Actually, I can't see you, but I can see my writing. A question. That's better. Sorry about this. It doesn't normally happen. You've got four pages of background notes, which if any members of the public would like me to send them, they give me their email address and I'll happily forward it. I'm going to abbreviate that into a few pertinent paragraphs, which I have written here. In 2015, Rydell District Council granted planning permission for a new livestock market and food enterprise zone on land adjoining Eden Camp. An air quality impact assessment was submitted, which shows that when assessed together with the co-joined housing developments, four applications linked together, the Moulton Livestock Market and Food Enterprise Zone will have a negative impact on the future air quality in Moulton. The applicant predicts that the concentration of nitrogen dioxide will increase to a level approximately 10% above the legally binding limit. I could actually insert the word 20% there if I was being less generous. The latest RDC air quality monitoring figures show a small improvement in Moulton's air quality, a reduction in the levels of nitrogen dioxide, but there is no evidence of a downward trend. Between the years 2007 and 2015, the level of nitrogen dioxide was consistently in breach of the legally binding EU and UK limit. By contrast, and this is the sad part, nitrogen dioxide levels have risen by 8.6% over the past 3 years in Wheelgate, from a concentration of 36 micrograms per cubic metre of air, I'm sorry to be so technical, in 2015 to 39.1 in 2017. The legally binding limit is 40 micrograms per cubic metre of air. I haven't written it down here, but I can assure you that the World Health Organization states that there is no safe limit of nitrogen dioxide. So my question to Council relates to the potential impact of HG livestock transport on the concentration of nitrogen dioxide in Wheelgate, Moulton. I'm telling you what you already know, but HG livestock traffic currently entering Moulton from the B1257 Broughton Road in order to access Moulton Livestock Market on Horse Market Road travels along Mount Crescent, Middle Cave Road and Victoria Road. Assuming that the same livestock traffic that currently enters Moulton from the B1257 Broughton Road reroutes, in other words, goes straight on down Newbegin and Wheelgate to Butcher Corner in order to travel through Old Moulton to the new livestock market at Eden Camp, how will the council prevent further increases in the concentration of nitrogen dioxide in the Moulton Air Quality Management Area and in Wheelgate in particular?
Thank you, Mr. Thackeray. We have a We have an answer to your question, and I will then invite you to ask a supplementary question if you want.
Okay.
At present, livestock market traffic from the majority of the approaches to Moulton access the existing livestock market site through the town centre and air quality management area. The relocation of the market to Eden Camp would result in a redistribution of livestock market traffic across the local highway network. The location of the new facility would mean that users of the market, which travel from the east, north and south, would be able to access the facility without the need to drive through the central network and the air quality management area. In addition, livestock market traffic from the B1257 would have a choice of accessing Eden Camp via Highfield Road and could avoid Wheelgate and Butcher Corner. It is not unreasonable to assume that the location of the new facility would remove a significant proportion of the existing livestock market traffic in the air quality management area. The Council will continue to monitor air quality within the air quality management area and will work with partners to continue to implement the air quality action plan in order to improve air quality. Do you wish to ask a supplementary?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. One I prepared earlier. Okay, so a new livestock market on land adjoining Eden Camp could result in the rerouting of HG livestock transport vehicles from the B1257 Broughton Road onto Pasture Lane and Highfield Road, passing a junior school and a primary school. In light of the concerns of members, including Councillor Duncan, well photographed in the Gazette last week, about the disastrous knock-on effects and negative impact of the Norton Level Crossing HGV restriction, what additional measures, I think the answer you've already given me is no, will the Council put in place to restrict and or prevent the rerouting of HGV livestock vehicles along unsuitable roads and through highly sensitive town centre locations? Would I be right in assuming that you're not going to do anything?
Is that the end of your question?
It is.
If you would let us have that in writing, I will provide you with a written answer.
Thank you.
From the Chair, I will say that as a council, I don't think anybody here is satisfied with traffic in Moulton.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have to redouble whatever we do with our partners, and we are pleasantly, we have a number of county councillors here present, and I hope that will help to shortcut the links to the partners, North Yorkshire County Council, and indeed the Highways Agency, who are one of the, hurdles to the solution. I'm sorry I can't give you any more than that at the moment, Mr. Thackeray.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for listening. Who would like the microphone? Happy to tell you a few jokes if you like.
Not tonight, please. Item 4 on the agenda is to approve as a correct record the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 28th of June 2018. As Chairman of Council, I move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 28th of June 2018 be approved and signed as a correct record. Is that seconded? Councillor Ives. Unless a member has an amendment to change the minutes with the words to be included or deleted, which I can put to the vote, I will move to the vote on approving the minutes as drafted. Members, please, can you cast your votes now?
That's carried unanimously.
The motion is carried. It was a timer. The timer to time the questioner. Agenda item 5, urgent business. There are no items of urgent business. Moving to agenda item 6, declarations of interest. Do any members have any interest to declare under the members' code of conduct? I will take members of the county council as read. Are there any other items of conflict? Councillor Paul Andrews.
I suppose, Chairman, I have to disclose that I'm involved in the case against the government in regard to fracking. In regard to item 10, I don't think it's anything other than a personal interest at the moment.
Thank you. Councillor Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. As before, I chair the National Park Authority, which is one of the joint mineral and waste plan partners, but I've looked at the motion quite carefully and I don't think that I need to withdraw from what's proposed here.
Thank you. Therefore, I turn to item 7, announcements. I wish to publicly place on record and make sure they're in a minute my personal and I think our council thanks to Claire Slater for her service as an interim chief executive. And we all look forward to her return to work in due course. I'm very pleased to say that we have been awarded a bronze certificate from the armed forces. And very briefly, I think Chief Executive would like to report on some meeting arrangements in the near future.
Thank you, Chairman. There was a member briefing pending next Wednesday on the local fund, and I'd like to ask members if they're minded to deal with that at the working party instead, to save elected members having to attend on two consecutive evenings.
I think that we can take that as a diary note. Are there any problems with that?
What's the working party about, Chair?
Chief Executive, can you... Resources Working Party. Councillor Ives, would you like to enlighten the members opposite?
Yes, it's the Resources Working Party on Thursday evening, which this item will probably end up going towards and then on to the Policy and Resources Committee. In order to save on costs and also members and also officers turning out over two nights, it makes sense for those items to be dealt with together. There's certainly going to be enough time at the Resources Working Party, and indeed, if any members wish to attend the full meeting of that and the continuation, they're more than welcome to.
And as an exception, I would like to ask Councillor Hope to make a small announcement to members of the Council.
Thank you, Chairman. The last announcement she gave, that my wife had a bad riding accident. She'd like to thank you all for the good wishes and kindness that she's received from you all. She had a very bad accident. She did actually break her back in two places. But I'm glad to report that she's doing remarkably well, and she thanks you all for your thing. The good thing that's come out of it, I've now got a full driving licence for a washing machine and a tumble dryer. Thank you.
I'm very pleased to hear it, and not before time. Thank you. Those are the end of the announcements. As I mentioned earlier, I'm now going to move straight on to agenda item 10, which, if you give you a chance to find your places, which are the notices on motion. And two motions have been submitted. The first one from Councillor Potter. Councillor Potter, please move your motion.
Thank you, Chair. Right, I presume nobody wants me to read the whole motion out. Yeah. Right. The government has put forward proposals via a written ministerial statement to allow the exploration phase of hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, to be allowed under permitted development, henceforth referred to as PD, therefore requiring no planning permission. They also propose to bring the production phase of fracking under nationally significant infrastructure projects, or NSIP, to be decided centrally by government and the planning inspectorate, thus taking decisions away from local control. These proposals would override local plans, local planning, and local democratic decisions, including those within North Yorkshire. The Minerals and Waste Joint Plan was jointly produced by North Yorkshire County Council, City of York Council, and the National Parks Association. Sorry, the North Yorkshire Moors National Park Association, with authority, with considerable expenditure and officer time over several years. The plan was subject to extensive consultation with all stakeholders and the public. It was judged by a government-appointed independent planning inspector to be sound, legal, and compliant with national policy at an examination in public. Therefore, 1. This council endorses local control of fracking by mineral planning authorities. 2. This council supports the current North Yorkshire Minerals and Waste Joint Plan and the definitions within it. 3. Council instructs our planning officers to respond to the government consultation accordingly by rejecting the changes proposed for PD and NSIP as inappropriate, and with the view that the North Yorkshire Minerals and Waste Plan should have primacy for all planning decisions at all stages of fracking. 4. Rydale District Council requests North Yorkshire County Council to support this opposition to government policy. Thank you.
Is your motion seconded? Councillor Joy Andrews. In which case, Councillor Potter, I invite you to make your first speech.
Thank you, Chair. I would rather hope that everyone can agree that fracking decisions should be made by our locally elected councillors who agreed with the planning inspector that the Minerals and Waste Joint Plan was a sound plan, and that we can have cross-party agreement about localism that was so vaunted by this government when they came into power. So, do you think that decisions on fracking in North Yorkshire should be made in Whitehall, or in Bristol, or in North Yorkshire? A major role of North Yorkshire County Council is planning and minerals planning, and has been for decades. So I would ask the question, why are they suddenly deemed unsuitable to regulate their own local industries? The Minerals and Waste Plan was a strategic plan to allow fracking. I'll repeat that. It was a plan to allow fracking, but under the right conditions, with the right regulation. The decisions were based on the use of sound science responsibly. 2 weeks later, the ministerial written statement proposed to undo those decisions. A very strange timeline, may I say. The plan was supported and approved by all of our Rydale County Councillors and our MP Kevin Hollinrake. County Councillor Andrew Lee, who's the Executive Member for Planning at North Yorkshire, said, and I quote, "We welcome the Planning Inspector's decision in relation to the 500 metre zone, the setback. The measures in the plan extend the protection already provided in national policy. Once adopted, it will become the Bible for guiding future planning decisions." Sadly, within weeks, the government decided on an even newer testament by issuing a written ministerial statement and proposals to remove local planning control, local democracy, and the primacy of that very minerals and waste plan. The consultation on NSIP mentions compulsory purchase in passing. There's a quote, "Finally, if a development consent order is granted, it can incorporate other powers which cannot be included in a planning permission under the Town and Country Planning Act 1990. For example, powers for the compulsory acquisition of land." That should go down well among our local landowners. So, if decided under NSIP, the infrastructure definitions will surely apply.
3 minutes.
Yep, won't be very long, Chair. That won't put at risk fracking under any other name in the National Park. So there we have it. Minimal local input, minimal local control, minimal localism, a great danger to the whole planning process. So is that not worth supporting this motion? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Potter. Councillor Joy Andrews, our seconder, do you wish to speak?
I reserve my right. Thank you.
Thank you. May I invite from the floor speakers? Councillor Ives.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, the North Yorkshire Minerals Waste Plan contains extensive protections against large-scale fracking and is the product of many years' worth of development and extensive consultation, as well as an examination by an independent planning inspector. As a democratically elected representative who is held to account every 4 years, I am a firm believer in local democracy. It is this reason that I have previously heavily criticised protesters who have sought to disrupt the decision-making process of the County Council and the rule of law. And it is ironic that those who previously fought against the County Council now wish to argue in favour of local decision-making and democracy. Nevertheless, to disregard the views of the County Council and local people on such an important issue is wrong and undermines people's faith in democracy. I therefore fully support Councillor Potter's motion, and I hope that the government reconsider its decision.
Thank you. Nobody else's. Councillor Sanderson.
Thank you, Chairman. Can I first of all ask for a point of clarification? The local minerals plan has not yet been passed. I believe that's the case. Can somebody confirm that, please? It's not yet been adopted, sorry. It's gone to examination, but not yet been adopted.
We'll take that as read. I think the principle under examination is also the Rydale plan, is it not? I think the motion stands to be debated. Councillor Sanderson.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I can't totally extricate myself from the County Council position here when speaking on this matter, so apologies in advance. Like Luke, I strongly believe that the local decisions should be made by local councils at local level, and I've always advised objectors to hydraulic fracking to put their efforts into the emerging mineral plan where our real safeguards can protect us. I feel passionately and strongly about that. The only application we've had for hydraulic fracking in North Yorkshire came to North Yorkshire Planning Committee, and this committee, even though pressurised by strong lobbying, bordering on intimidation, made a really, really brave decision based on current local planning legislation. I sat through a lot of that. It was hard. That planning committee were really under pressure. And, I mean, I've sat on that planning committee. I know what it's like a lot of the time. It was very, very stressful for them. So, Councillor Potter asks why this has happened. Well, other local planning committees have not been so willing to take these difficult decisions, and so it could be that this move to permitted development has been proposed to alleviate the pressures and associated expense, which has been considerable to local authorities when they've been squeezed, so that they don't have to go through what North Yorkshire have been through. I feel confident that my colleagues at North Yorkshire County Council are in full support of this decision on the planning applications being plan-led, and I think it's pretty obvious that, like Luke, I do too. Thank you.
Councillor Keel.
Thank you, Chairman. Some of you may have taken one look at this motion this evening and thought, oh no, here we go again. This is another motion about fracking. But members, in my view, this is about so much more than fracking. This is about the democratic rights of local people to feed into the democratic process through us, their elected representatives. The proposals in the ministerial statement threaten to strip away this democratic process by allowing exploratory work for the hydraulic fracturing process to go ahead without reference to our planning committee, and worse still, to allow faceless bureaucrats in Westminster to make decisions on the full-blown production phase without any input from this or other councils or the residents that we all serve. In other words, the industry will be able to crack on and carry out exploratory testing on the same basis as a householder building a small conservatory or replacing their windows. And this local authority and others like it will have no control whatsoever over where and when the fracking industry chooses to set up stall and frack. And residents, more importantly, will have no opportunity to object or support the industry, as decisions will be made away from the glare of local publicity. As I said from the start, though, I don't believe this is just about fracking. Obviously, I'm concerned, as thousands of people here in Rydale and across the country, about the impact that this will have on our countryside, the environment, our health, our economy, tourism, etc., that it is effectively opening up the country to give the shale gas industry free rein. But it's more than that. It's the principle that we have to look at tonight. Is it right that if a proposal is unpopular with the public, the government can just make a decision on planning without the democratic process that we all use and admire? I would argue that it just isn't. And members, I believe this is just the tip of a very large iceberg. What other decisions might the government decide to take out of our hands and decide our nationally significant infrastructure projects? How many of you sitting here tonight would like to see a nuclear power station in the Vale of Pickering? Members, these proposals by the government are, I believe, a slippery slope away from our democratic process as we know it. And I urge you to all support this motion.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chairman. I'm very pleased to see that there seems to be unanimity so far amongst speakers. Can I just clarify a few points? First of all, in defence of those protesters, please bear in mind that that committee at North Yorkshire County Council did not have a single representative on it from Rydale. And also, please bear in mind that that North Yorkshire Planning Committee made that decision contrary to policy SP13 of this council's local plan. This council's local plan was confirmed by the inspector at the examination in public as being part of the development plan. And so that decision should never, ever have been granted. It wasn't democratic because there was no local representation. Can I just clarify a few points? The minerals plan has been provisionally approved by the inspector. The examination in public is still continuing, and she has still got to issue her decision, having heard representations on various things. When that decision is issued, then it can be adopted, and I hope it will be adopted. The The plan is consistent, I'm told by the inspector, with policy SB 13 of the Rydale plan, which does require all decisions to be made to enhance the landscape and the countryside. Can I just mention how this purpose of the PDs and the purpose of the NSIP is actually intended to work out? If you have permitted development rights to sink a well and spend several millions of pounds on it, it then becomes very difficult for a planning authority to refuse the permission to frack after it's been sunk. So actually you're giving PD rights for the whole process. Secondly, the purpose of the National Significant Infrastructure Project plan is to make sure that you can refer large-scale planning applications to the NSIP. A large
30 seconds.
A large-scale planning application could include the whole of the Vale Pickering could be covered by one such application. They could simply say, we've put 50 wells on it. And that would be permission granted in outline. And what would happen then? Well, all the investors who look about protecting their money would say, well, that is a safe investment. And the billions of pounds of money would come rolling in. And within a
few years... You'd like to wind up your speech, Councillor Andrews.
I'm just finishing. Within a few years, literally within a few years, this whole area could be completely industrialised. Please bear this in mind.
Councillor Oxley.
Thank you, Chairman. I think Councillor Ives, Councillor Sanderson, Councillor Keel have made the key point. This is about localism, it's about our voice counting. At the last meeting, we had a debate about the swimming clubs, and we sat here for an hour when the mood in the room was only going in one direction, while people scored points and shot across the table at each other. Can I suggest we don't do that on this motion now? I suggest the mood in the room is only going one way, and I suggest that we quickly move to a vote, do what we should do, and move on with the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Councillor Val Arnold on my list, and I will go to the seconder, and then we'll go for the vote.
Thank you, Chairman. Just very, very briefly, I am, by the way, also a North Yorkshire County Councillor, but I fully support the Minerals and Waste Plan that has been produced with extensive consultation with all stakeholders and the public. Therefore, I fully support this motion, as I think decisions should be made locally. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Joy Andrews, as the seconder of the motion, would you like...
Point of order, Chair. Yes, Councillor Oxley said what he said, but I haven't put my hand up yet because you had others with their hands up. If you would like, I could go down the route of every time we debate something here, I'll put my hand up from the beginning until you acknowledge me, and then we'll do it.
Councillor Clark, I will. I did give you a chance. I was looking around the room quite assiduously, and maybe you didn't have your hand up high enough.
No, I didn't have my hand up at all because I was waiting for...
Well, no wonder I couldn't see it then.
That's probably why, Chair, yes.
Yeah. Councillor Joy Andrews, as a seconder of the motion, would you like to speak?
I can't see why that precludes other people who want to speak. We haven't been debating this for long. What's your reasoning for trying...
My reasoning is that I have a list of people who wish to speak.
Yes.
There was an absence of people who wished to speak, and therefore I decided that I would have one more speaker, then go back to the seconder of the motion, and then wind it up, which I said fairly plainly for all to hear.
Chair, at that point I put my hand up as well, because I wished to speak.
So at which point I didn't see it?
When you were wanting to rush through to...
Hardly rush through.
Seconder.
You are quite right, we haven't been here long. And I think we are all going the same way. I will take one more speaker and then go back to the seconder. So between the two of you, you can decide which you want to say. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I really can make it quite short. I think the people who are questioning the protesters really want to stop and think. Protesters got women votes in this country. Protesters got black people votes in the States. Protesters stopped all sorts of abuse. Protesters against fracking, I don't like them. I've outside this very building here, I have never been so insulted. They said I was worse than the Tories. And that's a pretty offensive thing to say to someone who thinks that the Guardian is far too right-wing. But Chair, those protesters believe in what they are doing, and there was 700 of them at North Yorkshire on one application, and there wasn't any trouble at all handled by the police. There was one or two troublemakers among them, and the protesters themselves bundled those troublemakers somewhere I know not what. But there was no police, and I've asked several levels of the police, have any trouble there at all? None. So I really think we should welcome protesters, because they are the people who are standing up for what they believe in, to make mere politicians aware of what people feel out there. Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
I assume you're also supporting the motion. In the absence of
Chair,
you saying,
I was replying to a comment that was made by two people in the debate, and therefore which side I am may have to wait until the vote, so we may need a recorded vote, Chair.
Well, I look forward to that. In the meantime, Councillor Joy Andrews, do you wish to speak as a seconder of the motion?
No, I don't wish to add anything, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Potter, in reply, as the mover of the motion.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, indeed. I was interested in the comments of Councillors Ives and Sanderson about the protesters. And I've actually come to know quite a good number of those protesters over the last few years. And almost without fail, I've found them to be extremely intelligent, articulate people who put in a massive amount of work to find out about the true facts of fracking. So I find it a little bit disingenuous to say that they're causing any problem. Yes, there are some people who cause problems, but to say that they were against this process of the Minerals and Waste Plan is clearly not true, because a huge amount of money was put in by Frack Free Rydale into a consultant to speak on their behalf at the Minerals and Waste Plan. And there was a great deal of opposition to the original Kirby-Misperton plan. The very, very overwhelming proportion of that were very reasoned statements, and they were not exactly listened to. But anyway, I'll move on from that. The garden shed or conservatory issue. Yes, it's an interesting one, because I saw a letter in the paper about this saying, oh, it's not really a problem. Permitted development. Now, I asked the following questions of Kevin Hollinrake and Vicky Perkin probably about a month ago. I had an extensive and somewhat evasive non-answer from Kevin and no reply from Vicky. My question was, I'm well aware of the implications of permitted development, being as I'm a member of the planning committee, in that although permission doesn't have to be sought, there are still parameters and specific limitations that must be complied with. In order to allow the exploration phase of fracking under permitted development, there must surely be a completely new set of fracking-specific rules to be complied with. Are you aware that these have already been drafted? And if so, I'd be grateful if you could send me a copy or point me to a link. If not, do you know at what point these rules will be drafted? I didn't put in my question, but I was wondering if it was going to be a Brexit job where we'd work out the law and then decide what we were going to do about it. So I'm still interested in an answer to that. So I thought that would be quite interesting background, being as most people still seem to be supporting this motion, I'm pleased to say. And thank you to everybody who's spoken and said they support it. Finally, could I ask for a recorded vote, please? Right, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Potter. The motion has been proposed and seconded and debated. I therefore put it to the vote.
Twenty-eight votes for, no votes against, and one abstention.
The motion is carried. I will now move to the second motion. Councillor Clark, please move your motion.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just read out the motion itself, but the background to it is that there's been a fine of 200 million plus in the States in relation to glyphosate. This Council therefore resolves, one, to stop with immediate effect all use of glyphosate on its properties, including car parks, roads and pavements. Two, calls upon NYCC to not use glyphosate on NYCC properties, roads and pavements. And the next bit, which has been accepted, but not my idea, thought by me, but would be acceptable to the mover and the seconder, is a little three, calls upon all Rydale town and parish councils to not use glyphosate on their properties, roads and pavements. And so that there is a record of that, I have that written out here for you.
Thank you. Do you have a seconder? Councillor Thornton. The motion has been proposed and seconded. It automatically stands for referral to policy and resources, and we will obtain a report from them in future for debate. Oh, we'll get the wording on the alteration. We have now go back to Item 8, members' notice, members' questions on notice. It might be that members of the public aren't particularly interested in the forthcoming business, but they're very welcome to stay. However, if they wish to leave now, they can go at this point. That's good. No? One or two to go. Yes? Thank you for your attendance.
Is it something I've said, Chair? That's when I...
I'm sure it isn't.
Chair, it couldn't possibly be anything that I've said because I haven't been heard.
Chairman, is there anybody that knows how the lights work on the stage there? We're sort of looking at the
Councillor Wainwright,
does,
Chair.
You can't see your faces.
Councillor Wainwright is an expert on those lights.
I don't know if that's an improvement on my part, but I hope you can. I hope that's better. Right. Agenda item 8, members' notice on questions on notice. There are two questions on notice. The first from Councillor Wainwright. Please ask your first question.
Thank you, Chairman. This question is directed to Councillor Clark, the Chairman of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee. Would Councillor Clark please inform members of the progress made by his scrutiny committee into the investigation of alleged bullying of officers at Rydale District Council?
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Through you for Councillor Wainwright, maybe to improve his question over the years, it really is not his committee, i.e. my committee. It is Rydale District Council's committee, of which I chair. The answer to your question, unfortunately, is I am unable to answer that question at this point.
Councillor Wainwright, do you have a supplementary?
Thank you, Chairman. At the full council meeting in June of last year, you allocated £10,000 to investigate into bullying at Rydale District Council, and you stated at that time that you would report back to full council as a matter of urgency. And 16 months have passed and no report. Don't you think, Councillor Chair Clark, that you're being grossly unfair and unsupportive of those alleged to have been bullied by not producing an open report with some suggestions as to how the bullying can be prevented? From past experience, you're very good at putting off the decision. Perhaps you'll not produce a report by the next full council in October, or even the next full council after that in December. And then by then you'll have the good excuse of not producing a report because it's too near an election of councillors in May. And then you'll say, we'll put off a decision to produce a report for the next full council. When will the final report be published? And when will it be made available to council members, the press and the general public?
Thank you, Councillor Wainwright. I probably need to expand a little bit on my previous answer for you then. You are aware of the exempt items that prevent me from telling you more. That's the first part. The second part is this report. I didn't say it would be done urgently. I have said no, I did not. No, I'm afraid I didn't. The request came from full council to do it as a matter of urgency. And I accept that it has to be done as quickly as possible. But it has to be done according to due process. It cannot be done ignoring rules on exempt. It cannot be done in a hurry, because if you do that, you're not doing it properly. And for someone who voted against it being looked into, and someone who denied that there could be anything remotely like that subject for 2 years in full council before we got to this stage, it is smileable that you now, through you, Chair, wish it to be done quickly, whatever the cost. It will be done properly, and you, Councillor Wainwright, are aware of two of the holding up factors with it. Both are an exempt. I cannot say any more, I do not intend to say any more, and you are aware of that. And on that basis, I look forward to your question next council meeting. I hope we have got further. We will get further when it is possible to do so. And I'm sorry if that upsets Councillor Cowling as well, Chair.
Councillor Wainwright, you have a second question. Please ask your second question. You have a second question. To Councillor Ives. No.
My apologies, Chairman. I misunderstood that. My question to Councillor Clark, who is the Chairman of the Policy and Resources Committee. Well, maybe Councillor Ives as well, then.
Enough on my plate, Chair, without the promotion.
Would the Chairman of PNR update members on the streets, in your view, including recruitment and the procurement of new refuse and recycling vehicles?
Thank you, Councillor Wainwright. So the street scene review is now complete. All staff have been issued with their appointment letters, and indeed there are now several vacancies within the street scene area. There have been no redundancies as a result of the review. And we've got, like I said, several vacancies. Indeed, I think we've got three at the moment. So I don't know if the press are taking notice of this, but we need people and we need them fast because we have got vacancies. No new refuse vehicles have been purchased. However, three new recycling vehicles have been procured. However, at present, only one of the vehicles is being used and is currently in a testing phase due to technical difficulties. We are working with our supplier to work through those technical difficulties. While we are doing that, we are not paying for the vehicles, and indeed within the contract there will be penalties if they do not come online soon, so we will be refunded when we eventually start to pay for them. Members will be updated as soon as possible once there's an update on the implementation of those new vehicles. I'd be happy to take a supplementary, Chairman.
Councillor Wainwright, have you a supplementary?
Yeah, I have a supplementary for Councillor Ives this time, Chairman. Councillor Ives, do you believe our new vehicle procurement has been a mistake this year and we've gone for the cheapest option and not the best value for money option, which may have been more expensive in the short term, but at least the vehicles would have been more reliable? Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Ives.
Thank you. So once the new vehicles come online, we will be able to reduce the overall number of vehicles from 5 down to 4, which should lead to significant savings, simply because the new vehicles should be able to compact a lot more recycling materials. The supplier is actually working very hard to correct the issues, and they are a long-standing supplier of the council, and indeed I have asked that question about the service that they're delivered and have been informed, you know, that they are trying their utmost, and actually they've got a long-standing history of doing this council well. And indeed, actually, when we went out to procure those vehicles, it was built into the contract that there would be a penalty if they did come online. So that was actually some foresight when that contract was determined. Don't get me wrong, if the issues cannot be resolved within the long term, this council will not hesitate to take some difficult decisions, including the potential procurement of new vehicles, which will come at no penalty to this council because the current ones aren't working. So no, I do not believe there has been an issue in terms of the procurement, and actually I think there's quite a bit of foresight to begin with. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we now move to agenda item 9 to consider for approval the recommendations in respect to the following Part B committee items. Firstly, the Licensing Committee. Would Councillor Farnell please briefly introduce this recommendation?
Thank you. The Statement of Principles must be reviewed every 3 years, even though they are regularly kept under review. A consultation period ran from the 15th of January to the 9th of April this year. An updated Statement of Principles was then brought before the Licensing Committee on the 8th of May, where the recommendation was approved. The Statement of Principles now need to be approved for adoption by Council and published before the 31st of December this year, so they can become effective from the 31st of January 2019. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Councillor Farnell? In which case, Councillor Farnell, please move to the recommendation, and once it is seconded, you may make your speech.
I'd just like to move the recommendation.
Is that seconded? Councillor Windrush.
Thank you, Chair. I'll second that.
Does anyone wish to speak in favour or against the motion or propose an amendment?
In which case, I believe the motion has been sufficiently, if not debated, then it's been covered, and I will move straight to the vote.
That's 27 votes for, no votes against, and two abstentions.
It is carried. Moving on to Minute 6, the Licensing Act 2003, updated statement of licensing policy. Would Councillor Farnell please briefly introduce this recommendation?
Thank you. The statement of licensing policy must be reviewed every 5 years. Consultation ran from the 5th of February to the 30th of April this year. The report came before the Licensing Committee and was approved. The Statement of Licensing Policy is therefore before Council tonight to seek approval for adoption, which will come into effect on the 1st of March 2019, and that members approve the setting up of a feasibility study to investigate the possibility of excluding certain categories of premises from the need for a late-night refreshment licence. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Councillor Farnell? In which case, Councillor Farnell, please move the recommendation, and once it is seconded, you may make your speech.
I'd like to move the recommendation.
And is there a seconder?
I'll second that. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Windrus, does anyone wish to speak in favour or against or propose an amendment? No? Are we all done? Members, please then cast your vote.
That's carried unanimously.
It is carried then. Moving on to Policy and Resources Committee. Minute 20, the Moulton and Norton Infrastructure and Connectivity Improvement Study. Would Councillor Ives please briefly introduce this recommendation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I refer members to page 105 of your agenda papers, which outlines the recommendation of the Policy and Resources Committee. There are three strands to this recommendation. One, that we endorse the Moulton and Norton Infrastructure and Connectivity Improvement Study and work in partnership with NYCC and other stakeholders to progress the study. We also authorise officers to progress work in partnership with NYCC to implement the potential quick wins, particularly in advance of the introduction of additional rail services from December 2019, and that the working party, item three, so the working party consider any other supplementary proposals with other partners. The Policy and Resources Committee decided to defer items 4 and 5 of the original officer recommendation pending further discussions with NYCC. A figure of 80,000 was outlined in the recommendation, and I think further evidence is needed behind that amount, particularly as NYCC have a pot of money which is allocated for some of these purposes. So those are the recommendations, Chairman. Before I move the recommendation, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Any questions? Councillor Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Inside the report that has been produced, one of the recommendations is the implementation of the HGV ban across the level crossing in Moulton on a permanent basis after some consultation has taken place. I would like to ask if Rydal District Council, given that the consultation on that HGV ban is now coming to an end and a decision is going to be made, I'd like to ask if Rydal District Council has been consulted to give its views on whether the HGV ban should be adopted on a permanent basis.
Rydal District Council has not been formally consulted by North Yorkshire regarding that. However, we do have
legal obligations in terms of air quality management, and you will be aware that there is an air quality management area declared for Butcher's Corner, and that was one of the main driving forces behind the ban over the level crossing. As a ward member for Norton, I have deep concerns about the ban because I do not believe it's dealing with the problem. Instead, it's only placing the problem in other areas, and indeed it's actually extending the area under which those problems arise. The connectivity study, as you referred, does make reference to these items, but should Councillor Duncan, as a member of the Policy and Resources Committee, wish for this council to respond to that, as chairman I would be receptive for us to deal with that item as a committee, particularly given it's an important consultation, and indeed we do have obligations in relation to the Air Quality Management Action Plan. Indeed, when we used to have the commissioning board, they did review the Air Quality Management Action Plan every year, so I would be receptive to that coming forward.
Any further questions? Councillor Thornton and then Councillor Keel.
Thank you, Chair. This one just seems to go round and round because we started off with Brambling Fields, which was supposed to improve the air quality, and years later we still struggle with that. It was supposed to improve congestion, and we're struggling with that. And it identified a need to include an extra phase at Butcher Corner for pedestrian safety issues, and we don't have that. We seem to be in a tangle as to everything that we do to help congestion moves it somewhere else, moves it down village roads, and increases air quality issues elsewhere. Anything that we do to work on Butcher Corner to make it safer for pedestrians will increase congestion and therefore air quality problems. And if we...
Councillor Thornton, we are still in questions.
Yes.
I'm continuing. I'm waiting for the question.
There was a suggestion pre-war that we should have a southern bypass as well as a northern bypass, and have a ring road. Does Chair of Policy and Resource consider that we haven't yet found the answer to all these tanglements, and whenever we go round the circle, we will be paying for another report?
Just to deal with the issue of Bramling Fields, that's something this council put a lot of money into, and it is not the responsibility of this council to build roundabouts. But we did it because actually it does make a difference and it does matter. And actually, if you look at the level of emissions at Butcher's Corner, they have been decreasing. I believe we would like them to decrease faster, but they have been decreasing. And I know for a fact, as a user of the Bramling Fields roundabout myself, that it is used particularly in peak times when it matters most. Clearly, the roundabout does provoke strong opinions due to the use of HGVs on there, and some people argue that it could have been better designed. I accept that, but I also believe we are better for having that roundabout than no roundabout at all. And that is an example of when this council has done something tangible, where there is a roundabout at the end of it. So I don't believe all we do is commission reports after reports. I do, however, share your frustration about the amount of bureaucracy involved. And yes, this council has paid for a report, but ultimately that is necessary if we are to advance some of the solutions that have been outlined, because without an evidence base and without that report, you are never going to attract funding from elsewhere. So even though I resent it, it is necessary for us to do that work. Happy to take a supplementary, Mr. Chairman.
In the absence of a supplementary, I have Councillor Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I share Councillor Thornton's frustration about this. I, as a council, have been discussing this matter for more years than I care to remember, and we just don't seem to get anywhere with it at all. I would also defend the Bramling Fields junction, but unfortunately, where things
a lot of things went wrong with the Bramley Fields Junction was that the complementary measures that were talked about at the time never happened. And that's why some of the congestion that we currently see through Morton and Norton is such a problem, because nobody was ever encouraged to get into a habit of using that that junction at Bramley Fields to get into Malton and get away from Malton towards York. But that's where we are with that. My question really is what Councillor Ives and members of this council who are county councillors can do to actually start moving this forward. As we, both Councillor Thornton and myself have said, we've discussed this for years and years and years, and I just cannot see it moving forward at all. I think this council needs to put a lot of pressure on our partners to actually make things happen. I don't just mean highways, I don't just mean North Yorkshire County Council, but Network Rail are also part of this process, and they seem to be moving slower than some of their trains do.
Councillor Shields. I beg your pardon, Councillor Ives would reply.
Thank you. I share Councillor Keel's frustrations with how slow this is moving, but I reiterate that this is not Rydal District Council's statutory responsibility. We are doing it because it's important and because it matters, but because it's not our statutory responsibility, we don't always have the powers or funding that allow us to progress quickly. I think ultimately, when it comes to it, this council will have to make a decision as to whether it puts some of its money where its mouth is. And you know, we have saved considerable reserves over the past few years, and they could be utilised for this purpose. Ultimately, the money that this council has got is a drop in the ocean compared to what would be required for a long-term solution. But that is why, like you said, we need to pressure others and also engage with partners to ensure they do their share. You reference the new trains coming online within 2019. That is a thought which does terrify me at the moment, and it's why immediate action is needed. One of the potential solutions outlined is synchronisation of train times and actually better signalling, which reduces barrier downtime. That seems a sensible, pragmatic solution to me, and God knows why it should cost so much to deliver. So it's those items where I think we need to put as much pressure as possible for that to happen. But ultimately, we can only pressurise. It's not within our gift, as much as frustrating as it is.
Councillor Shields, you may.
Thank you. Briefly, I don't think we can keep hiding behind this is not our responsibility. The state of the congestion in Malton and Norton particularly, not just Malton and Norton, other areas of Rydal, is our responsibility as far as I'm concerned. The state of the pollution in Malton and Norton particularly is our responsibility. And I just think we have to find a way of really getting this movement, this moving. My supplementary question is to Councillor Ives. What faith have you, because I don't have a lot, in the suggestion in the recommendation that the quick wins will be in place before the train service increases in December 2019? They will make very slight differences, but they will make some difference. What faith do you have that they're actually going to happen? Because on track record so far, I have very little.
Thank you. The reason why I said about it's not our responsibility is not as an excuse, not to shy away from it, but to simply highlight that we're doing something that matters because it's important, not because we have to, but because we want to. I like to think I'm a direct person. The honest answer to your question is I would not have 100% faith because it's not purely within our gift. But those items that are within our gift and we can directly do something about, I'm very confident we will deliver.
I have Councillors Shields, Clark, Paul Andrews and Brian Maud. Councillor Shields. There are questions.
Yes, it is a question. I'm referring to those potential quick wins, which you've all got in front of you probably. Numbers 4 and 5, which refer to safe and secure cycle parking, yes, good, improved parking, signature, etc. But do we have any more knowledge of exactly what is going to provide the ground for the parking when all the people who think what a jolly good idea it is to catch a train at Malton instead of having to drive into York or even further, where exactly are all these people going to park? So is there any further knowledge at the moment about the land the extra land that's going to be needed where people will be able to park.
So, Rideau District Council has commissioned a car parking strategy, and this item will be considered in further detail. Whilst this is all speculative at the moment, I know there is limited land at the Moulton side of the railway line. However, there is most definitely land available at the Norton side of the crossing. Now, if that was to be accessible, it would require the addition of a footbridge, and it may require the acquisition or purchase of land, but that could be a potential solution, but clearly further work is needed. There is also unused land along Norton Road as well, which could form a potential solution, but equally it's a lot more complicated than what would one would first assume. So there are potential ways forward, but there are no quick ways forward, unfortunately.
Councillor Shields.
Yes, I understand about all the pieces of land to which you are referring. But the point is, when is this report coming out, which is going to deal specifically with the problem of the land?
Work is about to start on that car parking strategy. I can't give you a definitive timeline because that will depend on the... once we start it, it may be that certain things come up that take a certain amount of time. I think it would be our ambition to deal with it before the election, but clearly once you get near to that time scale, it's not always going to be possible. But that would be the ambition, but I wouldn't say it's a set date.
Councillor Clark, I have your question next.
Thank you, Chair. I wasn't going to extend this question any further until Councillor Ives kindly told us that it was not our responsibility. And then fellow questioners have then pointed out that it is our responsibility. So maybe that has gone through that it is our responsibility, but let's just narrow it down. Air quality is our responsibility. And on that basis, do you intend to bring it down, the pollution in Moulton, to legal stroke acceptable, below legal limits and to acceptable levels? And if so, how?
The primary focus of the item that we are considering is the railway line and connectivity. And whilst other issues, such as air quality, are connected with that, I was referring to the central issue which we are dealing with. In relation to air quality, there are several ways forward, and these have been outlined in the Air Quality Management Action Plan, which was adopted by this council at the beginning of the decade. Now, that is up for review in the next 2 years, and so clearly we will need to look at what proposals are on there. One item that I am very keen to see is the introduction of a one-way system in the town. I think that would be very helpful, but that's an example of something where we have got responsibility in terms of air quality, but we have not got responsibility for the potential solution to that. There were items outlined in the management action plan, such as the narrowing of Butcher Corner, the reduction of lanes, etc., which I do not think are a way forward. Long term, Councillor Clark, the best electric cars are the future. And if you look at I think we've topped now 1 million electric cars on the road, and that is a positive development. And indeed, the government have promised, I think it's by 2040, that diesel or petrol cars will be banned. So that's a long term solution, but clearly there's a hell of a lot more work to do in the meantime.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I'm fascinated that the answer to the question is, what do you intend to do in relation to air quality? And you refer to the Air Quality Action Plan. Now, I hope you think that has been a riotous success so far, on the basis it's been under your political leadership, not your personal, but your group's political leadership over that time. And on that basis, I repeat the question, what, through you, Chair, do you intend to do? And if it's only a one-way system, can you please tell us how much That is estimated to bring it down, because relying on the government and electric cars is probably not going to do it very rapidly either. Thank you, Chair.
The introduction of the Air Quality Management Action Plan has not been a failure, as you alluded to, because actually the emission levels at Butcher's Corner have been reducing. When you refer to a one-way system, that would be reliant on upon a full traffic study taking place. And one of the suggestions at the Policy and Resources Committee is that we look at our overall funding to this scheme rather than just agreeing to an arbitrary figure of 80,000. So clearly there could be some ways forward that this council could contribute to make things like a one-way scheme happen.
I have Councillor Paul Andrews' next question.
Yes, Chair. I'm just wondering how much the Chairman of Policy and Resources accepts that the consequence of the problems in Malton at the moment regarding traffic, which you, Chair, said everybody knows and we all accept, is due to the overdevelopment of Malton without improving the infrastructure over the years, which was the responsibility of the Rydale Plan, which said that Malton would take 2,000 new houses, or rather, didn't actually say it that way, but if you add them all up, if you add it all up with buffers and other things of that kind, it came to about 2,000 within a very short time. And what is really concerning me is that throughout of this, there's no reference to the Rydale Plan or to forward planning at all, because it seems to me that what we're doing is simply tinkering at the edges here. Why is there no suggestion, no talk, for example, of having policies which would say that perhaps all new development that is going to be allowed in accordance with the Rydale Plan should have direct access to a four-way intersection with the A64, so that traffic that from new development that doesn't want to go through Malton or Norton Town Centre can escape without doing so, and that traffic that does want to go into Malton or Norton Town Centre can go through the town and into the town more easily. Why have we got all of these expensive schemes, the tinkering of the edges, and no reference to the real problem and the real issue?
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. If you look at one of the reasons why we've got more users on our road, it's not simply because we're building more houses, it's because we've got an increased population, and actually demographics are a key reason behind that. People are living longer. And therefore, that means you've got a greater population. So it's not just a case of building houses. Although I accept where there is development, there should be the infrastructure to support that, which is why, you know, we've alluded to Banning Fields early this evening, and you'll be aware that this council has adopted SIL, which means that when there is development, there has to be contribution towards the infrastructure in that locality. And indeed, I think an important decision of this council over the next few years is to make sure that SIL money is used to its greatest potential. Now, in relation to your question about development and how we're trying to ensure there's always the infrastructure to support that, I'll give you an example of the Beverley Road site in Norton, which could unlock several hundred homes, but where if it was developed, there would be a link road to the A64 and also an associated primary school. So that's an example of where there's development and infrastructure, and it's something which was alluded to within our site selection document.
Councillor Andrews.
Yes, Chairman. I agree with everything that Councillor Rye says about infrastructure. I also agree with him about Beverley Road. But he hasn't answered the question. The question was, why is there nothing in the local plan, or no attempt through the plans allocation process, to ensure that all new development is in a place which allows traffic that wants to escape from Malton, traffic from this new development to escape from Malton? Why is there not this? So I would ask the question again. Would you please explain why you are not, why this council is not putting in place action in the local plan, a policy in the local plan, which would say that land to be allocated for new housing should be in such a place it has direct access to the A64, and that to a four-way intersection on the A64, so that traffic which wants to escape from Moulton, from that development, can leave Moulton without having to go through the town centre, and the traffic that wants to go into Moulton can go into Moulton without experiencing too much congestion. This is the problem. We have had developments built all along Pasture Lane. They have no way of escaping. This is what's caused the problem. Why is the council not taking any action, producing any policies for land allocation, which would improve the situation?
I'm sorry, I believe I answered the question last time. I gave the example of the Beverley Road site, which has been allocated in the site selection document, which would...
Councillor Ives is trying to repeat his answer to your question.
Okay. And if you look at policies, SIL is part of that, which means that we obtain monies towards infrastructure, and it's within our gift to determine how those are spent. What you are wanting to do, Councillor Andrews, is perhaps put completely unreasonable or unaffordable provisions in there, which means that a local plan could be struck down, and without a local plan we would be far more vulnerable to speculative development, and such as the Beverley Road one would be less likely to go ahead, and indeed you'd end up with development in the areas that you've referred to, which are not the right location and which actually have a bigger impact on congestion in the town.
I have Councillor Maud. Are there anybody any more questions that make themselves known now? Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I think we all agree that the problem lies with our very inadequate bypass, and we felt ourselves lucky to get the bypass in the first place. The delegation went down to London from, I don't know, it might have been even before Ryde, it might have been from Moulton and Norton Town Councils. And the minister there, he wasn't completely unaware that the A64 passed over the railway. He didn't realise what the problem was. But and so, you know, how aware are people down there of our problems today? But what I'm getting around to is, so we've only got one sort of all-access route when we had the bypass, that was out of Potts Pickering. The east end, you could only go eastwards. That when you could only, you know, you could either come into town, but you couldn't go out and turn that way or this way. So it was inadequate. The Bramling Fields one, it was first talked about in 2002, and by 2004. They were suggesting it was going to cost about £4 million. Well, it's cost actually more than twice that. And have all the bills been paid yet? I know someone was saying that they're still awaiting a final payment. But the thing is, if it takes all that much time to pay and all that much cost, we'll never be able to afford anything at where the Broughton Road crosses the bypass or even at the west end of Moulton. And I feel that we're given a cheap bypass by Minister of Transport, and it's okay. The congestion and air quality is going to get worse. But then it's got worse. Okay, here it's got less, but it got worse actually over the last 5 years, from my experiences, and it will get increasingly worse. We need some improvements to the Broughton Road and the York Road end. Can we not ask the Highway Authority to put something into that? I felt it was highway robbery when they said that we've got to do it and it's going to cost £4 million. Hell, it's cost, as I say, more than twice that. I still consider it to be highway robbery.
The question to Councillor Ives, Councillor Lord.
The question is, can we not ask the government for some money towards improving our traffic congestion and air quality in Moulton. Thank you.
I agree that the A64 is critical, and indeed we are doing an awful lot of lobbying to the government to ensure that the A64 is dualled from the Hotgrove roundabout to Barton Hill, and that's an absolute key priority for this council, and we've been working with partners to pressure government for that funding. I know it's been allocated from 2022 in the funding scheme, but that's certainly for a separation at Hotgrove. The dualling is not fully there yet, so we're doing an awful lot of lobbying in respect of that. Ultimately, when it came to Banning Fields, we lobbied the government an awful lot, and the answer was no. So who ended up stepping in? It was Rydal District Council with, I use the phrase again, no direct responsibility, but we did it not because we had to, but because we wanted to. When that proposal came ahead for Banning Fields, I think five items were considered. You also had Boughton Road, you also had Muesli Bank, and then there was also the connection between Mill Street and Scarborough Road in Norton, and then an alternative direct new bridge which would cost a fortune over the river to Muesli Bank. Bramling Fields was by far the cheapest, by a significant margin, and it was identified that would deliver the greatest returns. If we couldn't achieve government funding for that, it's unlikely we would achieve it for the others, but of course we can always ask government, but we can ask them for everything, but you know what often the answer is.
Councillor Moore, do you wish to ask a supplementary? You've done that. I have no more questions, in which case, Councillor Ives, please move the recommendation, and once it is seconded, you may make your speech.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the recommendation.
Do we have a seconder, Councillor Steve Arnold? Councillor Ives, make your move of speech.
Thank you. So after that extensive questioning, I don't intend to go on too long because I think most of my points have been covered. But just to reiterate, the situation is deeply frustrating, and also it's worrying that the number of train services will be doubled. The District Council is trying very hard to put this onto the agenda, hence why we were actually the initiator behind this study. And like I said, we should be prepared to put our money where the mouth is in the future. But ultimately, as I discussed with Councillor Keel, it is for other partners to come forward, particularly Network Rail. That is key to unlocking this situation. So I think we need to really press on this. We've emphasised the importance. The Policy and Resources Committee will be considering further streams of funding in the future, and that will come back to full council for a decision. So I urge members to support this because it's moving us forward.
Councillor Steve Arnold, our seconder, do you wish to speak? Councillor Paul Andrews.
I have an amendment, Chairman. And the amendment is that the officer group referred to in this report that officer group report on a quarterly basis to a politically proportionate working group of members of this council. And I believe I have a seconder.
Councillor Jowett.
Thank you.
I'm just recording your name for the moment. I'll read the motion first. The officer group report. I think what you propose.
Sorry, shall I read it out?
Yes.
Well, I can read.
Read alternate words.
It's. If you would.
The officer group referred to in the report reports on a quarterly basis to a politically proportionate working group of members.
I will allow Councillor Ives to come back on that. It might
I've just got a point of information that the officer group are going to be reporting to the Resources Working Party, which is a politically proportional group. When the Resources Working Party considered this, it was explicitly requested and indeed agreed. So that is going to be happening. Therefore, I don't see there's necessarily a need for this motion because it's already happening.
Point of order, Chair. The Resources Working Party is not a politically proportionate group.
I think as there is some debate as to whether the what's existing is proposed, and I think we should follow the amendment. So we will... I think we have to accept at the moment there's some question. I will take some advice on that from the council solicitor, who will give us an answer on that. I'm advised that it is broadly politically representative.
Chair, that is not proportionate, politically proportionate.
I think as the answer has been broadly, I will go with the amendment. For the sake of clarity and for the sake of debate in the council chamber, I'll go with the amendment. So we will... Councillor Ives, point of order.
Point of order, Mr Chairman. The reason why the phrase broadly was used is because the only way you could ever have a truly proportional working party would be to have all 30 members on it.
You've raised a point of order. Could you tell me what rule has been broken? Not at the moment, no, because I'm dealing with this point of order at the moment. We will go with the amendment.
Point of order, Mr Chairman.
Drives. Which
there was a decision because we're trying to reverse a decision that's already been made within 6 months. There was a decision of the Resources Working Party to receive a report, and that is a politically proportional working party. Those recommendations were accepted by the Policy Resources Committee. Therefore, we've already got a decision of Council, and that cannot be reviewed again within a 6 month period unless one quarter of members put a motion on notice to allow that.
The decision that you're referring to is the Resources Working Party in its makeup. Is that the decision that you're referring to? Well, I have been advised that it is broadly politically representative, which I don't think quite answers the question. Yeah. No, I think all committees which are politically representative are made up from numbers in ratios of the political makeup. Is that right?
Chair, if I was to be allowed to speak, I might be able to resolve some of these difficulties.
We will deal with, I think this is the fourth time, if it's not, it's certainly the third time, we will deal with the amendment, in which case it has been proposed, it has been seconded, we will go through the motions and you will, if there are any questions to your motion, and you can make your speech, and then I'll go to the seconder if required. Councillor Andrews.
Yes, Chairman. The reason why I'm asking for this is because we have an officer group which deals with air quality at the air quality management area. It's an officer group. It reports back to no members. We only get to hear about it and its minutes because Simon sends us the maker every now and again. Don't actually hear from the officials. And we've been talking about democracy before, and I think it's most important that when officers do work, they report back out to members in one forum or another. That is the essence of what I'm saying. Now, if Councillor Ives says that this is work is being done by the Resources Working Party, and if he will confirm that means that this officer group will report to that working party every quarter, I will be quite happy to accept that. But what I am concerned about is that the Resources Working Party deals with so many matters. It has a huge agenda, and if you get a situation where a matter of this importance is reported back to that working party, it gets demoted to the bottom of the agenda, perhaps if officers don't really want too much time to be taken on it, and the result is we don't have a specialist group of members for actually dealing with this particular issue. I'm not talking about a large working party, a large working group. It need only be four or five members, as far as I'm concerned. But I do think that in principle, where we have an officer group spending hours of their time discussing a very important matter, that group should involve members, and there should be a direct reporting back. And I don't think the Resources Working Party actually has the time to deal with this, because they have so much other business, and I would therefore ask members to accept my motion and vote for it.
Councillor Jarrett has seconded. Do you wish to speak?
I reserve my position.
I therefore invite anybody else to speak for or against. Councillor Ives.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I still don't think the point of order that I raised has necessarily been addressed, which is that this is seeking to reverse a decision that was passed by the Policy and Resources Committee. The reason that was given is that the Resources Working Party isn't fully proportional. Like you said, it uses ratios and it is proportional as well as can be for a 10-member working party. Therefore, if this amendment is passed, we would have no option but to create a 30-member working party. And that working party, main purpose according to your argument, would be solely to consider the issues raised by the officer working party. I do not think it's good practice for 30 members to be getting together as a working party to review the actual working party itself. The decision of the Resources Working Party is that it will receive the minutes of every officer working group, which will come immediately to the next Resources Working Party. Indeed, you talk about information. There's absolutely no reason, Councillor Andrews, why you cannot request, and indeed have not already, I don't understand why you've not already requested minutes of these meetings, and instead, despite being a member of this council, you're relying on a member of the public to receive information. This is getting quite bizarre, and we just need to vote it down because it's getting beyond ridiculous.
No, I'm afraid we can't. Please, no. I'm looking around the room for anybody else wishes to speak in the absence. Councillor Clark, I do have you. I beg your pardon.
I didn't believe you could miss me twice in one evening, Chair. I've been most hurt. I could quite happily debate the fact that Resources Working Party is not proportional for some time. I don't intend to. Councillor Ives said the Resources Working Party made a decision. It's a non-decision working party, and there are problems and there are things that need to be looked into that. But put all that aside, let's accept that it is proportional and let's accept that it's decision making. That working party was set up many years ago to combine the work of two working parties, the Capital Working Party and the Budget Working Party. And it does a lot of other things on top of those. We have an issue here that has been going on, poor air quality. In terms of market towns, there's not a lot of towns of the size of Moulton that are in that position. It is a problem that needs looking at, concentrating on, and getting solved. And on that basis, it needs a group of people, no thank you, don't want to be one of them, but it needs a group of people who are working on that issue full stop. And I don't care what proportionality it is, and the Resources Working Party can have a regular copy of whatever minutes it comes up with, but that group will be not looking at budgets, who pays for parish councils, cattle markets, all the other massive subjects that the Resources Working Party looks at. It will be looking as a group of people on one subject that is very urgent. And on that basis, and I'm very nervous about this, I found myself supporting Councillor Andrews. I keep checking my thinking as to where I may have gone wrong. And so far, I haven't been able to come up with anything, but if somebody tells me, I will stop immediately. Very clearly, this is a subject that needs to have member involvement with it. It doesn't need tangling up with everything else. And as long as it is roughly proportionate, I would be happy.
If it's roughly proportionate,
one at a time, please.
I would be happy. My point is that it must be separate from the Resources Working Party, separate from budgetary discussions, etc. and so on. And therefore, yes, can we have it as far as we can, proportionate, but it must be that subject that it looks at only. And that will involve more members, so you're not necessarily on the Resources Working Party, you can be on that body, and that's something that, as a member, you concentrate on. Thank you, Chair.
I have no other members wishing to speak. I will go to the seconder of the motion. Councillor Jowett, do you wish to speak?
No, I don't wish to add anything at this time. Thank you.
In which case, I'll go back to the proposer of the amendment, Councillor Andrews.
The only point that I would like to mention is to come back on this point of order. The fact that there may be an injunction requiring all officer working groups to report to the Resources Working Party does not mean that they cannot report to other groups as well. The Resources Working Party just does not have the time to deal with the amount of detail and the amount of work that would be required for this. And so, therefore, I say there is no conflict with a previous council resolution, and I would ask members to support this amendment.
Before going to the vote, I think we should read the, if possible, we could read the. The amendment. Councillor Ives, do you wish to? No.
Chair, that my colleagues will rise so we can have a recorded vote on this amendment.
The officer group referred to in the working group, report on a quarterly basis to a politically proportionate working group of members. Can you place your votes now, please?
It's 9 votes for, 17 votes against, and 3 abstentions.
The amendment is lost. I think, therefore, we return to the substantive motion. Is anybody else wanting to speak for or against the substantive motion? Councillor Andrews.
Yes, Chairman. I would simply like to make the point that the problems are not just created by the railway, that when the number of trains doubles, the problems will increase. The problems have been caused by the local plan and by a number of planning decisions which have parked an enormous amount of houses right in the middle of a town which has not got the infrastructure to deal with it. The proposal that I've made on several occasions, which wouldn't remove the problem, but it would help, would be that we have to have these new houses because they're in the local plan, which I did object to before, but we have to have them. I accept that. And what I'm saying is that those houses should be put in places where they're not going to make the problems any worse. Or if they do make them worse, they're going to be less worse than if they're putting in another place. The question I asked Councillor Ives was, why isn't the council prepared to do that? I will supply the answer for him. It's the real answer. And the real answer is because if we do that, this site of Rydale House would not fall within that definition, and therefore we would not be able to develop it. So therefore, we're going to put 60 houses on this site, on this site, and another 60 or more probably on the police site and quarry bank. And the result is that actually we're going through this process, we're paying lip service, and we're merely pretending to be wanting to do something about it. but actually we don't really care. And that is the message that the public gets. The public, you may laugh at me, but the public laughs and despises all of us for what we do and the sheer stupidity that we play on in order to protect the corporate interests of Rydal District Council, a council which could disappear within a few years. I will support the motion, but we should all be aware of how the public sees us. You may laugh at me, you may think I am being silly. As I see and hear over all this room, but actually, it's us who are making fools out of all of ourselves. Please don't forget that.
Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm just going to ask that efforts are redoubled in engaging with our partners to bring forward the suggestions that were originally agreed to when the Bramley Fields was first done and completed for the traffic management in the town centre to be brought forward. The traffic lights and the restriction of vehicles, especially coming over the railway crossing, need to be implemented ASAP, and if we can redouble that with a newer chief exec who's got the connections in the right place at the moment, I think we've got somewhere where we can put some pressure on. Thank you.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'd just like to remind people what it is that we're talking about and thinking about and why it is so important that we make some progress on this rather than just batting it around the circle again and having another report. 40 whatever it is per acre of air is not a target. It is a maximum which we have exceeded, and we're not very far below at the moment. So we're perilously close to exceeding again, and it can be a climate, it can be a other source of nitrogen dioxide, it can be one of a number of reasons that could take us over that 40. There's a lot of evidence that 40 is not safe, that 35 isn't safe, and perhaps we should be lowering that yet further. And why? Well, it affects the lung development of small children. It affects wheezing and episodes of asthma, which cut small children off into hospital. It increases heart attack, mental impairment, and dementia. And these are the problems from living in an increasingly polluted air quality area. Now, I feel very sorry for people living in St. Nicholas Road, and I don't know what street. I don't know what the levels of nitrogen dioxide are and will be down there, but the traffic flow has gone from 119 vehicles per hour to 230 to 309. And you can only imagine that queuing to get out of that impossible junction is going to increase pollution at that point. You can see accident clusters at Butcher Corner and accident clusters at the end of the bridge in Norton. You see lorries going over the pavements in Butcher Corner. We have got big problems with the roads, with the infrastructure in our towns. Electric cars were alluded to, and I can remember when I first went on planning, and they were going to have one electric charging point on a housing estate. It's clearly somewhat inadequate. In fact, there have been 60 charging points, and I think free, offered to Rydal, and yet we haven't deployed them. And I don't know why that has got stuck in the bureaucracy, but we must see a way to do that. But we have a problem also that we are to capacity in our roads, and we are to capacity with our air quality, and yet we are planning to build ever more houses. And we need the infrastructure before we build the houses. We need the infrastructure before we start developing sites in Norton, in Moulton, and everywhere else. It's unfortunate because that's the source of money for the council, but that is reality. Thank you.
Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, just to add a little to what Councillor Thornton's just said, I was looking at the first line of the recommendation saying endorses the Moulton and Norton infrastructure and connectivity improvement study. So the infrastructure and connectivity caught my eye because they both have quite major impacts on air quality and on congestion. And it's worth noting at this point, not be surprised that this is of interest to me, that there is almost zero cycling provision in Moulton and Norton. We've had a couple of mentions about electric cars. Nobody's mentioned electric bikes. And take it from me, there will be quite a massive increase in the coming years in electric bikes. That requires a different sort of infrastructure. This is critical infrastructure. This is the sort of critical infrastructure that needs to go with every single planning application. And in terms of planning, we're talking about significant numbers of housing developments with an increase in people and more cars. I don't see any improvements or any increase in sewage treatment despite creating more sewage. So, finally, we can have as many reports, consultations, studies as we like. Ad nauseam. What's needed here is action and delivery. And we're not seeing it. We're just seeing more reports and going around the same old boy. Thank you.
I have no more people wishing to speak. I will go to the seconder of the motion, Councillor Steve Arnold. And therefore, I will go back to Councillor Ives as the mover of the motion for his final speech.
Thank you. I echo a lot of what has been said, that we need more action, and ultimately that action, the vast majority of it rests with other partners. But we, as a council, should be doing everything we can, which is why tonight we're moving forward. And like I said, we need to be prepared to put our money where our mouth is in the future.
Thank you. I believe the motion has now been sufficiently debated. As the motion has been moved and seconded, I will go to the vote.
That's carried unanimously.
It is carried. Moving on to minute 21, Moulton Livestock Market. Would Councillor Ives please briefly introduce his recommendation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I refer members to page 161 of your agenda papers, which outlines the recommendation which was agreed at the Policy and Resources Committee. In brief, the recommendation proposes that this council in principle lead on the development of a relocated livestock market for Rydell, although this is conditioned upon the preparation of a business case and the preparation of a detailed specification, and that up to £150,000 be made available to support this business case. Subsequent to the Policy and Resources Committee, a request was made by the committee that we consult with key partners, which has happened. We have also had a member briefing session, which is one of the most well-attended member briefing sessions I can remember. Since the Policy and Resources Committee, the £150,000 provision for a business case has come down quite dramatically. It's ordered down to £50,000, and indeed I think there's a widespread belief that this is still an overestimation and the actual cost to prepare a business case will be significantly less. What's also come out of the consultation with partners is that there could be other way forwards, and indeed suggestions have been made. I therefore wish to advise members at this early stage I will be moving a referral back to the Policy and Resources Committee to consider the suggestions that have been put forward, and also to ensure that when we spend money on a business case, it is to the best value possible. But I will be happy to take any questions at this stage prior to moving the motion and subsequent amendment.
Are there any questions to Councillor Ives? Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. And the briefing that we had and the PNR minutes that we received when we first discussed this particular problem, I drew attention to the fact that the plan of that site was the original outline plan put to planning committee a long, long time ago. That plan and description plan and it was indicative of what might take place and where. It does not represent today, that plan, the actual fact of where the roads are and where the roundabout is that serves the rest of the industrial site off Pickering Road. And I would dearly like to have a modernised plan drawn up for us to appreciate what is going to go where, just for the sake of accuracy, please.
Thank you. So you will note that the Policy and Resources Committee recommendation does state that work will be done on a detailed specification, and indeed in the £50,000, which it now is, which, like I said, we're aiming to get down even further, does include a provision for architect fees, which would include a revised plan for that site.
Supplementary, Councillor Raper. Councillor Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you please tell me how many consultation letters were sent out following the Policy and Resources Committee meeting? How many people replied, and how many of those letters have been conveyed to members before this meeting as requested?
There were four consultation letters which went out. We have had written replies from three of those consultations and one verbal reply. The overall response from those consultations is overwhelmingly positive, in that there's a belief this council is doing the right thing. It's just in terms of specifics, and indeed, just to add to that, I think the overall message from the member briefing is that if we get this right, this is a positive thing and we need to get momentum, but equally the devil lies within the detail. A copy of the letter that was sent out following the PE and Policy and Resources Committee was distributed to everyone on that committee, and indeed it will be consideration of that committee and subsequent full council to consider the consultation responses, and those will be made available.
Supplementary?
Supplementary question. Could I confirm, have those three letters been circulated to members ahead of this meeting this evening, as requested by the Policy and Resources Committee?
Those letters have not been circulated because, like I said, I think following the members' briefing, there was a consensus that actually it's better for this to be reconsidered by the Policy and Resources Committee, at which time those letters will be made available along with full and revised information.
Are there any more questions? Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. Last night we heard that the police were moving up to the Eden campsite, and I wasn't quite sure whether they were now a food item or whether there is an area for the armed response team, which I haven't been aware of in the development on that site. Can anybody illuminate me?
Developer of that site has included provision for a livestock market and associated buildings alongside that. There is also a wider element to that development which could include other industrial units, including a site for the police and the other public services that were alluded to at the member briefing.
Supplementary, Councillor Thornton. Are there any more questions? In which case, Councillor Ives, would you like to move your recommendation, and once it's seconded, make your speech?
I move the recommendation.
And seconded by Councillor Steve Arnold.
Chair, is that with the amendment? With his amendment?
Not yet, no. We haven't received that.
Chair, can I give notice that I do have an amendment to be dealt with in due course?
As second, move a speech, and you moved to the. Do you wish to make a move a speech?
Yes, just briefly, Mr. Chairman. So, like I said, the livestock market is hugely important, not just to Moulton. Indeed, it is very important to Rydale as a whole. It is central to our cultural identity, and the value it has, both in terms of its direct benefits and indirect benefits, is indispensable. And I think it is a duty of this council to do everything it can to make sure that it can continue. When this council considers the item, it is also vitally important that we consider the use of any taxpayers' money to ensure that it's protected and good money is not spent after bad. And that was behind the initial proposals. This is starting to get some real momentum now, and you know, given that this issue has been going on for many decades, there has indeed been a lot of progress within the past few weeks. As part of that progress, new suggestions have come forward, and I think it's important that we review those and also consider what the best way of moving forward is. But just to underline, I think that certainly my view is that there is a will to make sure that the livestock market does succeed long term into the future. The question of how it is done will be a matter for this council to consider in the future, but that is why I wish to move deferral when there is the opportunity, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Steve Arnold, I seconded. Do you wish to speak now? I have Councillor Paul Andrews next.
Is this the time to submit my amendment, Chair? The amendment is that before any action is taken, the auctioneers be invited to submit a business plan and the council engage consultants to examine the business plan. In other words, that should precede any... That before any action is taken, the auctioneers be invited to submit a business plan and the council engage consultants to examine the business plan. I have a seconder.
Chairman, can you have two amendments on the floor at once?
I think we only have one at the moment, and we're dealing with this one first.
I thought we had an amendment on the floor already that we need to defer, that we need to decide on before we move to a second amendment. I mean, that's my understanding of the way that this works. I'm probably wrong, judging by the shaking heads over the table.
It would have been easier, but I'm afraid we are where we are. We have an amendment from Councillor Paul Andrews. And seconded by Councillor Jowett, am I right? That before any action is taken, the auctioneers be invited to submit a business plan and the council engage consultants to examine the business plan. We'll deal with the amendment as it is written, and deal with it as the floor sees fit. Councillor Andrews.
Yeah, yes, I said the auctioneers because I'm not quite sure whether it's the auctioneers, the farmers' company, or whoever else. That's why I said the auctioneers. The point is this. In 2006, the auctioneers and the farmers knew that the cattle market was going to have to move, or rather they knew the lease was going to expire in 2009. They have kept on. They have not actually produced a business plan. They came to us and they said, "Would you please pass enabling development to let us move our cattle market?" We accordingly granted planning permission for that enabling development without having a business plan from the auctioneers and the farmers. We got the LEP, Local Enterprise Partnership, to deliver a wonderful roundabout and some wonderful infrastructure. That was something like £2 million. Again, that was all done without cattle market operators producing a business plan. We're now being asked to spend vast sums of money on doing something else, again, without a business plan. So all I'm saying to members is, Chairman, is can we have a business plan first, instead of paying money to help them produce specifications and whatever else, can we use that money to instruct a firm of consultants who know what they're doing to examine that business plan, because it's going to be quite a complex development, as I understand, and make sure it's viable before this council commits any money. I've always said, Chairman, that when it comes to private enterprise dealing with public services, that the result is usually a mess. But I would say that it also applies the other way around. If public services try to run a commercial operation, which is what is actually being proposed,
30 seconds.
That normally ends up in a mess. And so I think, Chair, before we agree to spend any money, we get the situation straight in our own minds, and we know exactly what we're dealing with, and this is the purpose of my amendment.
Before going any further, does the seconder of the motion wish to speak now?
I'll reserve my position, Chairman.
Thank you. I have Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. You'll forgive me tonight, I'm feeling just a little woolly-headed, but my understanding is that there were two business plans, Councillor Andrews, one from the cooperative and one from the Moulton Livestock Company, that went forward to Roddy Bushell at the estate. And Roddy Bushell chose the estate, Moulton Livestock Company. So I was involved in the cooperative plan, so I do know there were both business cases put forward and business plans and drawings for new cattle markets that the estate chose not to take up. So you'll forgive me if I don't quite concur with your point that there is no business plan, because there was business plans put forward and they were put forward to the estate. So forgive me. But at the end of the day, the business plan is our business plan first and foremost, to make sure that what we're suggesting we spend of taxpayers' money is the right thing to do. That's before we even get to an auctioneer. Let's make sure we're going to spend the right amount of money and we're going to do it properly before we get there.
Councillor Wainwright.
The document, business plan, prepared by the Farmers Market Company, dated November 2017. So we had a business plan last year that we deemed was not fit for purpose. We want to find a business plan of our own, not somebody else's, Chairman. Let's not go it in a roundabout way.
Councillor Steve Arnold.
As normal, I have no idea what Councillor Andrews is talking about. We asked at the last meeting, we asked for a business plan when we all sat round here and listened to the farmers. And we asked for a business plan. So you're bringing it up again when it's already been requested.
Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. You only have to look at the actual minutes that we're looking at tonight. 2.1, Rydale Council approving principle to lead a development of relocated livestock market for Rydale, condition upon preparation of a business case for the new Moulton livestock market. There's a couple of other caveats there. We're going to go and look at those again. I think in Councillor had been made aware of by Councillor Ives. I think this is a surplus to requirement motion, and I think we should reject it out of hand. Thank you.
I have nobody else wishing to speak. Before I go back to Councillor Andrews, I will ask the second. Councillor Ives, you wish to speak?
Thank you. I don't think I've ever known such a poorly uninformed amendment come forward. Councillor Wainwright has just waved around a business plan which has been received by this council and was considered by the Resources Working Party last year. And to use Councillor Wainwright's words, it was not considered fit for purpose. Under your suggested amendment, what would happen is that business plan would end up going to consultants who would be inexpensive, to say the least. The amendment is then an addition to the substantive recommendation. So after it's been considered by those consultants, the next step would be for us to move forward with £150,000 to support another business case. It's poorly constructed, ill thought out, and that is why, if you listen to my introduction, I made clear that we need to take this back to the Policy and Resources Committee to fully consider. That includes reviewing the £150,000, which has already come down to £50,000, to really consider how we best spend taxpayers' money on a business case. And that business case would have to be from this council's perspective, not from the perspective of a private business. Because ultimately, if we built the market, it would be for us to determine who we lease that to. We need to consider if the commercials and the financials stack up for us to lease that market out. We should not be getting that business plan beforehand. Ill thought out, ill prepared, and quite frankly, if we went forward with this amendment, we'd be spending an awful lot of money on something which, we, like Councillor Wainwright said, we've already considered and reached a conclusion on.
Councillor Clark.
Chair, are we now in the main debate? Because I thought that's what I was indicating to speak for.
We are dealing with the Councillor Paul Andrews amendment.
That's what I thought. No, I'm wanting the main. When you asked Councillor Ives to answer, I thought he was replying to the debate from Councillor Andrews. My mistake. But I do wish to speak in the main debate when this amendment's out of the way.
We have no more people wishing to speak from the floor on the first amendment. I will therefore go back to the seconder of the amendment, Councillor Jowett.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm quite concerned that this council's moving towards a commercial revenue raising mode, and I understand the reasons for that. But I've got serious concerns that that's not what we're designed to do. As regards this site, we're proposing to develop a site on the basis of an 8% return, if I understand the proposals correctly. Yet there is no certainty of occupancy of any of the proposed developments, as far as I can understand. Somebody at the briefing meeting asked if there was such certainty of good return, why has no commercial developer taken on a development role on the site? And it's my view that 8%, the 8% that we're looking at, even under ideal conditions, isn't sufficient return to allow for any certainty which is clearly present. In order to progress this matter, I believe... the business plan is almost totally reliant on the market itself operating correctly and adequately into the future. Otherwise, the ancillary buildings and the businesses which would hopefully come in there are very, very uncertain in my view. So in order to progress this matter, I believe that a minimum of an acceptable business plan by the auctioneers is vital before any further money is spent on by this council. Thank you.
Councillor Andrews, would you like to wind up?
Yes, Chairman. Yes, documents that were called business plans were submitted. But they weren't accepted by the estate, and when we came to consider it, the one that was presented to us last year, we reckoned it was not fit for purpose. If such a business plan was to be submitted again, no doubt, if we did employ consultants, they would dismiss it very quickly at very little cost. What we should be asking for is a serious business plan. I do not see how this council has the expertise to know how to run a cattle market. I do not know how this council can have the expertise to know how to deal with the
Let Councillor Andrews finish, please.
I don't know how this council has the expertise to know whether or not it can develop that site and what people can get onto that site. Because the whole unit, the whole purpose of the unit, as I understand, is that the cattle market will not make money, but the agricultural businesses around it will do, and the combination of the two will produce a profit. I do not think that we can do that because we don't ourselves, because we just do not have the knowledge. And that is why I'm saying we should get the auctioneers to do a proper thorough business plan and spend some money on this. And when we had the briefing the other day, they did say they would do that. So I can't really see what the problem is. We asked them to produce the plan, to produce the business plan that they said they would produce, and then we pay, instead of us paying money for all the associated things, we pay money for that plan to be properly vetted. When we're satisfied with it, we can then go ahead and consider and deal with all the rest of the things, which hopefully will result in a move of the cattle market. But all I'm trying to do is to say let's take one step at a time and not put ourselves in a position where we say, this is the big picture. Let's go with the big picture and assume it's going to be all right without looking at the detail. And this is precisely what this council is moving into. And my motion was not intended to be disruptive or negative. It is simply to enable this council to act in a responsible and proper way. Take one step at a time, relying on what the auctioneers already said they would do, and then supporting that by requiring
3 minutes.
I beg your pardon. Supporting that with a properly with a company that knows what it's doing when it comes to vet the proposals.
Thank you. The matter has been debated. The motion has been proposed and seconded. I will put it to the vote. For clarification, it is Councillor Andrews' amendment we are voting on, his first amendment.
Two votes for, 25 votes against, no abstentions.
It is lost. We therefore go back to the substantive motion. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I think we've heard very clearly why we need to be not making any decisions on this tonight, and I understand that Councillor Ives will be moving a reference back or an amendment later. But if we are going down this route, we need to look at it broader. We need to decide what we're wanting to do. And I can't and couldn't follow Councillor Andrews. I liked his one step at a time. I think it was an admirable picture that he painted. The only trouble, he was setting off with step number 10 and leaving out 1 to 9 in the meanwhile. So he's right. We need to do it one at a time. But we don't know yet what direction we're going in. We don't know what the capital situation is. We don't know what the revenues will be. We may need a handful of business plans from people coming in to do, one of which will be our own business plan. But do we not want in Rydale, if Rydale is going to be the food capital of the north, do we not want to be building a food hub? And does that food hub not need to include farmers' markets, cattle markets, whatever else is needed? Because, a cattle market is something we've set our heart on, that we've got a few acres up there that's saying land for food. So if we're going to be the food capital, we need to think broader at this point than whether or not, and no offence to you, Chair, to Paul, we know not just looking at whether or not we've got a plan in relation to a cattle market or a business plan, and there are at least two, we need to look at it much broader. And on that basis, if we're going to do that, I will be supporting Councillor Ives if he moves a reference back. And it would be nice to second it on the basis that it will give Councillor Arnold's seconding arm a break. Exactly what I thought, Steve. And on that basis, can we please look at this as broad as we can, get as many ideas in as we can, and do it properly rather than in a rush. By a rush, yes, we need to be trying to get something underway next year, early next year, something ready for the new council, whatever. We must not be rushing into. And I think there's an advantage, because the 150,000 cost of the business plan has come down to 50,000. And Councillor Ives says it's come down even further, but hasn't given us a figure. So just the philosophy is just keep quiet and wait, and the cost of that business plan is going to disappear and go right down. No, it's seriously, it will cost some money, but it doesn't need to be costing 150,000, and the other issues all need looking at before we get anywhere near making any decisions. Thank you, Chair.
Before going back to the seconder and mover, are there any more? Are we all done? Councillor Oxley.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm going to look across the floor and I'm going to scare Councillor Clark to death because I'm going to agree with him. It became clear through the briefings, it's been mentioned tonight, the key to this is about ancillary space, it's about pre-lets, that's absolutely clear. The cattle market is not quite ancillary, but it is what's going to underpin those. And I agree with Councillor Clark, when we look at those, we need to look at the widest scope that we possibly can as to what goes into those buildings. He's quite right about food and the food zone. Livestock market's part of that. The food capital of Yorkshire. I'm moving to it soon, so I'm even more committed to Malton now. You know, what are Ferrer doing to think about moving this way and helping out? What's the LEP doing? We do need to look at it on a broad sense. So I agree with that. But I'd also like to come back to what Councillor Andrews said about one step at a time. There's two parts to that. One is about taking steps. The other one is about time. And yes, time does need to be done timely, but it also needs to be moving forward. We cannot prevaricate as we've done. I've been on this council 4 years, and we have chased so many things round and round and round. There's always two elements. We have to do things, and we have to do some of them quickly. And I don't think, Councillor Andrews, that the public laugh at us as much as you do, for the reasons that you do, but I do think that they want us to get on and do something that moves this district forward. So yes, let's put it back, but let's put something behind it that moves it forward on a broad basis.
Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm going to concur with Councillor Clark, which is somewhat worrying, I have to say, but we do need to take this one step at a time. We've had so many proposals that have come forward from various groups to do the cattle market. None of them have happened, and I don't believe they're going to happen without intervention from this council for us to deliver a cattle market and the ancillary buildings. But we've got to do it carefully, with due consideration, and we have to remember that this is taxpayers' money, and we have to provide value for money for those taxpayers and get a return on that investment. And I know that might be unpalatable to some members of this council, but unfortunately our revenue streams are going to reduce, and we have to create our own revenue streams, and this is one way to do it, is to try and facilitate these buildings and get some revenue back in for the benefit of the taxpayer. So I wholeheartedly support the idea and I'm absolutely sure that the right thing to do is to defer it back to PNR to do a whole lot more work and to make sure we get this right.
In the absence of anybody else, I'm going to go straight back to Councillor Ives.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wish to move an amendment that this item is referred back to the Policy and Resources Committee.
Do you have a seconder? Councillor Clark. I'm going to put that straight to the vote. Please vote.
That's 26 votes for and one abstention.
It is carried. We therefore go to item 11. That was the amendment. We therefore go back to the substantive motion. Well, it has been moved and seconded. Have you given your opening speech? And then you have the right to reply, and we can go to the vote.
Thank you. As Councillor Clark alluded to, Moulton is the food capital of Yorkshire, and indeed we have got a food enterprise zone. I think nobody in this chamber is against the relocation of the livestock market and this council helping to facilitate that. If we get it right, there could be, you know, could attract ancillary businesses, which in turn generates hundreds of jobs and also will bring in business rates. And like I said, the market itself is integral to this area in terms of the social value it adds. So there's a lot of potential gains, but we obviously have to do it in a way that protects the taxpayer and also has a long-term benefit. That is why we need to consider the proposals that have been forwarded carefully. But what I will say is, over the past month, there has been more progress on this item than there has in the other 7.5 years that I have been on this council. We're getting some real traction, and even though it's a referral back, we've got the momentum. So we've got to keep that momentum and also do it in a way where we get the right decision at the end of it. Thank you.
Go straight to the vote then.
That's carried unanimously.
It is carried. Agenda item 11, representation on outside bodies. The Council needs to consider appointing a representative and a substitute to the Moulton Community Sports Centre Finance and Premises Governance Meetings. Are there any nominations for the representative? Councillor Ives.
Thank you. I move Councillor Cleary, yourself, Mr. Chairman, as a representative on that body, and Councillor Farnell as the substitute. Unless there are any other people moving, it would make sense to deal with those together.
Are there any other nominations? Is the proposal seconded by Councillor Steve Arnold? I will go straight to the vote.
That's 26 votes for and one vote against.
It's carried. Agenda item 12, there is no urgent business. That concludes the business for the evening, and the meeting is closed. Thank you very much.